So could maybe you could start just by introducing yourself?
Denise Toulouse. I'm the coordinator of the Street Patrols program, a program run through Anishinaabe Health Toronto. Why am I here? I'm a community member. I have a child. I feel that right now what the government is trying to do is destroy our land base. I'm worried about the future for my son and for his children's future. And I feel that they really threw away a lot of money during this process. And like I say, you know, $15 million could have really helped. Right now we're concerned about our children's school, about the healthcare system, and losing our land base. And land is very important to First Nations people. For the government, here they talk about us empowering ourselves, and then they're working against us for us to do that. We do need on the reserve, bad enough, how is it is. We don't still have proper education there a lot, don't have doctors or full-time. Access to services when you're up north is poor, very poor. And access to clean water, access to things that people take for granted, First Nations communities don't have. And this is our land, and they made an agreement with us, a treaty, that we are to be self-governing. And now they're trying to, you know, like just get off of that responsibility. Never mind employment and, you know, like real, really important basic things that people need. We're you know, where's the small business initiatives for reserves, you know? Our communities have to leave and go somewhere to get educated, and they want to break up the whole system that's that we're trying to make work for us. So it's working against us.
Maybe if you could say a few words about your work in the community and how you see that as connected to, like, sure, these policy issues that are happening on a high, you know, level between governments.
Anishinaabe Health is a community-based health organization. We have a lot of complementary health services such as doctors, nurses, chiropractors, naturopaths. We've made partnerships with a lot of different schools in order to get those services to our community, because a lot of the community cannot get them elsewhere. That's half. And the other half is that we have traditional people. We have healers and elders that are also considered to us as the equivalent of a doctor plus more. It's the whole person that they focus on. It's an extremely important service that's probably one of the only centers, well, right now in Toronto, that has access to a full-time traditional person. You know, through colonization and through the residential schools, a lot of people have lost their identity. Many can't speak their language, and I'm one of them. Many do not, you know, I've just picked up things through working with Anishinaabe Health that I would never have had access to if I wasn't a part of that organization. I work personally with Street Patrol, and we work with street homeless people. We try to get access for them to things like the basic necessities, food, shelter, access to withdrawal management centers, access to medical care, access to harm reduction supplies. We do distribute condoms, and we have a needle exchange. Now we serve all street homeless, no matter how they designate themselves. We've got now the Bindigit program, and Bindigit is another program in the Anishinaabe Health. It's in its fourth year, and it works with Aboriginal street homeless, and it provides a circle of care model for Aboriginal street homeless, group-led, it's member-led, where they find out where they can actually point out their needs and what our program can do to help that. A lot of our volunteers are homeless. We've been able to move them into short-term training programs with us. Some have now, this last year, I've had a program with case management training programs. But last year, we've been able to actually provide it to three people that were previously homeless and that were Bindigit members. It's a great success. Bindigit now is running, in order to get people to come in, their breakfast program, 7 to 9, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. They have aftercare circles. They do language classes. It's grown quite a bit. They also have a housing worker and three community development workers, which provide circle cares. And that means whether it's the court system, you're getting housing, getting on the system, getting finance, getting their ID, finding out where the issues are, and also trying to identify what their issues are and how they became homeless, seeing how we can start breaking that cycle and supporting them if they want to leave the streets. And I think that's where we've been the most success, because there have been, look around here earlier, you've seen a lot of the people that came through Bindigat and now are in training or housed or at least, you know, working towards getting off the streets. Through that, you know, this last year we just found another training program called Finding My Way, and that's another one that it's open to people that have experienced homeless, that are homeless, and part of that is really connecting them back with their culture. So we have in understanding the cycle of homelessness. So they take we have homeless classes given by respective members of community. We do. They take Aboriginal awareness, and we have also a lot of community members in that to teach them. They see each week is a traditional healer that they sit in on the classes there, the healers that come to our health center. So it's been the first year, and it's so far been a great success, and you know, hopefully those programs can go on. But you know, but everything always depends on funding. And again, it's going to be, once they take away our land base and our rights to access services, we're already the poorest members of society, it's just going to get worse. We're going to have a lot of youth coming up. What is the government going to do with that? Our population is the fastest growing population. And here, they're trying to limit our abilities instead of encouraging us to go on.
Could you introduce yourself to the listeners?
I want to say bonjour to everybody. And my name is Nimki Kwe of the Bird Clan, and I'm also known as a grandmother teacher here in Toronto. And my name is, I'm known as Pauline Shirt, and I'm originally from Alberta, but I've been here since the 60s. So, and the reason why I'm here is because I came to support our people here, you know, for the cause. And I've always, since I was a little girl, I've always been an activist. I've gone to every kind of demonstration, protest, you know, and this cause really affects, you know, me personally, and I came here to support it as a grandmother teacher, you know, to keep the morale of the people, you know, sitting here, standing here, you know, with the rain falling us, it's a very good sign, you know, in this troubled times, you know, so there are, you know, there are a lot of good times ahead of us, but this is one of the things that we have to endure, you know, before we see that, you know, that light, eh? So I support it not only for myself, my children, my grandchildren, the unborn, you know. How it has impacted me actually is that I'm one of those women that was born on my ancestral grounds, and I'm one of those women who the Indian Act said when I married outside, you know, when I married an Anishinaabe man, and they kicked me off of the reserve. They said, you are no longer part of the reserve, and they gave me a $39 check. So, but that was the Section 12B of the Indian Act, where it stated that a treaty Indian married a non-status or a Métis or non-Indian, they would be struck off the list. So I was in that category. So I'm one of those women that my reserve doesn't want, you know. And we've suffered from that. It has really impacted us right down to my children. Right now, some of, you know, the reserve doesn't want children to be part of the, you know, to be status, you know, since, you know, section, you know, the Bill C-31. So we worked hard. I've been working hard. I worked hard. I was a national president for Indian Rights for Indian for many years, and working to change that act, you know. So that's one of the, you know, the things that's going to, that has impacted me.
And that's
the isolation, the discrimination, and, you know,
Aboriginal women did organize to change that act.
They changed it, and
that was
a place
where you were able to have an impact.
And in 1985, we changed it with, you know, Bill C-31. We put our foot on the door, and it has changed a lot of our people.
In general, how you've seen things change for Aboriginal people in Canada?
Well, this is one of the things that I started was In 1976, I started a school called First Nation School, Wandering Spirit Survival School, but it was renamed First Nation School. And that was the result of the 1974 with young people, Native People's Caravan, where we trekked from Vancouver to the opening of Parliament, September 30th, 1974. And they met us with the riot squad, and we all said, well, after that, we're going to go home and work on our issues. And the issue that I worked on was education, and that was to bring back the spirit, you know, to the people. And that's one of the things I as a grandmother, am happy that I have done that. I have done that, you know. And I still continue working all over the country. Wherever people ask me to go, I will. I will go and bring that, make people get people's spirit, you know, happy and on the right trail, and with this good way of life. The main thing in my life is to make people, you know, aware of that. Hey, you know, we have a way of life that has been here. It's never been lost. It's always been here. We'll always be here.
So, what are some of the things that give you hope right now?
I have a great granddaughter, and her name is Avalon. When I see her, they said, when I see her and we're sitting at the table and she says, Grandma, let's smudge and feed the grandfathers. That is hope. You know, I know I have done my work, and that is my legacy. And that's the legacy I want to leave with people. And that's one of the things I've come here to support the young people and, you know, to keep going and, you know, and so they encourage them, you know, so they will keep on the struggle so we can have a good life.
Thank you very much for your time.